shell shocked, really. I mean, with the players we've got, we're capable of seeing that game. You know, there's a lot of experience in that team. You know, not just in the defence, but in the midfield and in the forward. So, you know, we've got to manage the game between ourselves, the manager can't babysitters. Once we're over that white line, we've got to, you know, manage the game ourselves and see the game out. And, you know, we didn't do that and we got punished.
No, I thought it was absolutely unbelievable.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast, recorded live at Peterborough Services and thankfully several hours after Norwich City's defeat, 4-3 at Newcastle United. My name's Michael Bailey, I'm with Paddy Davitt as always. You know it's been a bad night when you use the word desolation in your text, which I did last night, Pad.
As well, mate.
In your match copy. I feel like I've moved on from shell shocked to a bit angry now. How's your emotional state?
A bit nonplussed still with it all. Really, what can you say? That hasn't already been said. But we'll do our best next 20 minutes or so. But yeah, now if you've got any pretensions to go back out from where you came from in the swiftest possible time, you don't lose a game 3-2 up in the 95th minute. I don't care whatever the circumstances surrounding that. That's what it boils down to. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of it, but you know, you've got to see the job through, and there's a lot of people there who didn't do their jobs, you know, on and off the pitch. So it's a painful one, it's a sore one. Not terminal by any means, but certainly doesn't fill you with confidence. If they get in that situation again, then it wouldn't be a similar outcome, sadly.
Yeah, the two goals, Norwich was 3-2 up, as Pad said, 95th minute of the game, of six added minutes at the end. Inside 60 seconds, Norwich conceded twice to finish up losing 4-3. And we can probably break the game down into different sections in a moment. But I guess the key questions being asked are whether Norwich's capitulation came down to the tactical and substitution changes from the manager over the course of that latter period of the game, or whether it was simply that the players mentally weren't strong enough to do their jobs for an extra 90-odd seconds. I have my own views on it. Where do you see the line? Would you want me to go first? Well, personally, I felt when Alec Neil made the change of effectively bringing Ryan Bennett on to have three at the back, by that point, the pressure was already ramping up. Norwich were having to dig in slightly different way, but they were having to dig in. So the pressure was there. It's not like the change came and invited the pressure on. In some ways, it didn't help tactically, though, because it did give Newcastle extra areas to tackle Norwich and to put them under probably added pressure. For me, taking off Jacob Murphy meant that Norwich basically didn't have an outlet up front. And even though you can bring on Nelson Oliveira, him holding the ball up is not the same as having pace that can get in behind if your striker is basically isolated. So I thought Norwich lacked that outlet when he made the changes. That said, Norwich were seeing it out up until, perfectly fine really, up until the last 90 seconds of added time. No, there were no changes that suddenly arrived with a minute of the game left to go. The players just switched off, and at that point the players have to be culpable too. So I'd probably put more blame on the players than the manager.
100% agree. Yeah, for me, the scale tips more towards those players, you know, because, yeah, I take your point about an outlet ball, and that probably would have helped in certain scenarios, but the reality is the manic nature of the desperation almost that those Newcastle players were showing. I think even if you had a Jacob Murphy running it into corners or a Josh Murphy, they'd have still recycled it, and it had still been coming back towards them, and it had still been getting bombed in there, because the force was with them. And we've all seen that at Carrow Road at games where there's just a collective fan/player urgency that sort of pins opposition teams back. So tactically, yeah, that is a debate, but of far greater concern is why Seb Basson can't track a runner from a 60-yard straight ball over his head, why Ryan Bennett is letting Goofran have a free run for the equaliser, Dwight Gale's weaving between Basson and Tete, I think, to slot the winner. You know, it's a collective abdication from those players, I'm afraid, and they've got to look at themselves. They've done it before, sadly. A lot of parallels were being drawn with the Liverpool game last season, and you can understand why. A lot of the same personnel, same fraught situation, and they haven't seen it out. So clearly, and ultimately, they got relegated last season because they weren't good enough mentally in those type of situations. They're just the most marked, most extreme examples of Liverpool and Newcastle last night. But those players weren't good enough to stay in the Premier League, and in certain situations like they find themselves in last night, albeit a rare situation, you don't have that type of quality coming at you in that type of crowd too often at this level, they were found wanting again. So, you know, ultimately, do we not already realise that there's flaws in those players? No, I think we already knew that. Sadly, we were reminded of it again last night in quite graphic fashion.
I mean, the irony is the game against Newcastle and Carrow Road last year, Norwich did it to them in the last minute, having it been a bit topsy-turvy. So I'm sure the Newcastle fans will remember that. We haven't deliberately ignored Tim Closer in what we've mentioned so far. Tim Closer was injured, so he didn't feature. We don't exactly know why, but there's hopes he will be back for Saturday. A lot of fans drawing the conclusion that, well, Tim Closer isn't in the side, Norwich therefore can't defend. But, I mean, it's not that straightforward, is it, Pat?
No, it's not that straightforward. No, there's no one individual who is absolutely going to decide a result one way or the other. But by the same token, go back and listen or watch or read anything Alex Neil has said post Newcastle last night, and it's basically, we didn't head the ball, we didn't clear our box, we didn't go and meet the ball. Heading the balls has been an issue. I saw one interview where he drew a parallel with the Burton equaliser, two or three chances to clear the ball in their box, talked about critical headers. For me, Tim Closer is the best in that situation. You know, he is physically, has the presence and also senses the danger. So in that respect, he was an absolute massive miss last night in that period where it basically went ridiculously wrong for the lads in his place. So yes, I think it would have been a different outcome, frankly, if he'd have been playing last night, certainly in that last 15-20 minutes, because I think he would have cleared some of the balls that Messrs Martin, Bassong and Bennett were unable to clear. So ultimately, he's their best central defender. I don't think anybody would broker any argument with that. You're going to miss him. End of.
And I guess the key thing about a result like this is a major thing that's happened. To capitulate in that style at the end of the game, psychologically, is a massive blow. And as a sort of, you know, slightly mocking the stages of grief that you go through after something like this, it can have, if it's allowed to, a huge effect on the rest of the season. We saw it with Liverpool. I don't know if Norwich really ever recovered from that to a degree, and especially up at St James's Park, almost exactly the same point last season. So, A, Norwich have got to really beware of that. It makes the game at Molineux on Saturday fascinating, if that's the right word. How do they stop it happening? Because me, in my angry state now, I'd want to prove that that's not going to be the case, which I guess is how maybe they'll deal with it.
Yeah, no, two very good examples. But what I would say is the difference is they're not playing Premier League quality at this level every week. So post Newcastle away last season, post Liverpool away, you're not basically playing teams who, to a man, are probably better than you. Hence why Norwich got relegated. So there will be an element of that they're not going to face that examination now of their mental fragility. I don't think to quite such a forensic degree as if this was happening in the Premier League again, but that's pretty cold comfort, because the reality is, if they want to go to where they want to go this season, they are going to be in situations like they found themselves last night again and again between now and the finish line. And you do fear that the same outcome, unfortunately, because there's now more than one or two examples that in such extreme circumstances those players unfortunately aren't good enough mentally, ability wise they're just not good enough. And as I say, to repeat myself, we know this because we've seen it, two relegations in 3 or 4 years, those players, I'm afraid, it's harsh to say, but they're not, some of those aren't Premier League players, Premier League standard players, week in, week out. So you could say yesterday for me was almost a Premier League style game. You know, Dwight Gale, he could do a job in the Premier League. They had quality all through the pitch. John Joe Selby ran the show in the first half. So albeit that was a Championship fixture with Championship points at stake, it was effectively a Premier League opponent, and as we've seen too often in the Premier League, they're found wanting. So, you know, the reality is Wolves aren't probably in that class. Wolves have had some ropey results of their own this season. But yeah, there'll be big questions against them before they go out on Saturday, and that's the only place they can deliver the answer, really. There'll be a lot of, I'm sure, soothing words from inside the camp between now and 5:30 Saturday, but ultimately it's the 90 minutes and what we see at Molineux, and what you don't want is them to basically fail to have recovered mentally from what's happened Wednesday night, and they go into another international break with another bout of introspection, because we had this with Birmingham, if you remember. Birmingham was the last fixture of the previous international break, coupled with a deadline day which didn't go how anybody really hoped. I mean, we all know how poisonous that atmosphere was. We certainly don't want that again, unfortunately, if they go into the back of it on two defeats.
No doubt Wolves will be sensing the jugular, or the juggler, one or the other, whichever they see come off the team coach fest. Let's get more, shall we, from Alec Neil and Cameron Jerome.
Yeah, it started like that. We was probably a little bit too far. We wasn't close enough to people, and you know, that was something we discussed. Coming up here, we was going to try something different. It didn't seem to work, and we went back to what we did in getting close to people. And once we got the hang of that, I thought we got into the game, and you know, we created a few chances going forward in the second half especially, and I thought we controlled it and we hit them on the break, which was obviously our intentions to do so. And you know, you see, this obviously wasn't to be today. Lack of concentration or whatever, or you know, tired legs at the end, tired minds, and you know, we were punished.
Well, Matthew, as we're in stoppage time, for the first 3 minutes we're fine, we're clearing the lines, we're winning the headers. They didn't do anything out of the ordinary. They put basic balls in the box. We had good numbers behind the ball, and you go and defend it, you go and head it, you go and kick it, you clear your lines, and you see the game out. You know, we dial it against Bristol, we've done it in other games. Teams do it up and down the country, week in, week out, to go and see the game out. There's 90 seconds left in the clock, we're winning 3-2. So we don't defend our box well enough. You know, the ball comes in, they score, and then all of a sudden, I think there's something like about 40 seconds left by the time the game restarts. Straight ball right down the middle of the park, and we just, all we need to do is go and clear the lines, and we don't, it drops to Gale, and he sticks it in the net, you know, and it's really, really frustrating, so disappointing, because we did enough at that point to win the game.
You know, we're strong characters in there. There's a good mix of experience and youth, so you know, it's up to the older boys and the leaders in the dressing room to hold ourselves together, shake ourselves down, and we go again Saturday. You know, obviously it was an opportunity for us to go back top of the league. We knew it was going to be a difficult game. We knew that Newcastle would come at us and they'd start fast like they always do up here. You know, we knew they wanted to come and beat us, and you know, we didn't necessarily have to beat them, but our game plan worked to a degree. But you know, obviously the last 5 minutes.
Well, I reckon, Pad, we can break the game into three parts. There's the last bit, which and then the middle bit, and then the first bit. Very descriptive of me there, but effectively Newcastle probably could have been 4 or 5 nil up after about half an hour, couldn't they? Dwight Gale, so many chances, some really good saves, good goalkeeping work from Michael McGovern, it should be said, some shocking defending in front of him, and really Newcastle should have been out of sight by then.
I think the inference from Alec Neil afterwards was that they basically got it wrong, or the shape that he wanted them to play and the approach, which seemed to be a bit more circumspect, and we'll just dig in here and just see how the land lies. That all that did is invite Newcastle to grasp the initiative, get the crowd involved, and it was literally the Alamo job. And as you rightly said there, bar McGovern, bar the woodwork, bar some poor finishing from Dwight Gale, they'd have been 3 or 4 adrift before he did get his first of the night. So,
well, that's an interesting point though, isn't it? Because Alec Neil gets criticised for not changing a game, but praised for his preparation. So effectively he's prepared and got it wrong from the start, yet managed to change it, because when they did change it, it looked a lot healthier and solid.
Yeah, it did, yeah. And ultimately, he's made mistakes on Wednesday night, the same as his players. I don't think anybody could sort of detach him from responsibility. You know, ultimately, his players maybe haven't carried out his instructions, he would say, but he's put them into that shape and decided that was the best approach from the off, but failed massively. And you know, as he said himself, to go in at a break 1-1, daylight robbery. Norwich were so far off in that first half, which only then compounds the sense of what have they done at the end, because they should have been out of sight at half time. The fact that they were leading 3-1 after 69 minutes is almost just by Norwich's standards, is just laughable, absolutely laughable. That a team who went there, let's not forget, going for a sixth straight win in all competitions, top of the table, and to disintegrate as they did from 3-1 up, You know, it's just laughable. Laughable.
I get the feeling we'll keep talking about the other bits in the match, but it's always going to come back to the last couple of minutes, I think. But effectively, the first goal from Dwight Gale, it came from Martin Olsen basically being having two against one because Robbie Brady had done his wandering thing that he seems to do quite a bit of. Defending in the middle was shocking. Russell Martin and Sebastian Besson completely leaving Dwight Gale, who was able to finish very neatly indeed. At that point, I got the impression that it was Johnny Houston playing quite high up alongside Cameron Jerome, almost a 4-4-2 in a way. And then the change in shape was effectively bringing Johnny deeper into that flat four and dropping Tetti off again. So it was a 4-1-4-1 almost, which I don't know if I saw that right, but that's how it seemed to be to me. Does that make sense, Pat?
No. Yeah. Well, ultimately, Newcastle were 4-5-1, 4-1-1 with Diarmi, the chief supporter, to Gale, so you just break it down. You don't have to be a tactical guru. They had an extra man in midfield. For that first 25-30 minutes, they had an extra man in midfield. Johnny Howson was wrong side of the ball. He couldn't affect anything in terms of the play, hence why the tone was set. And as you rightly say, after the first goal, they withdraw Howson and he's basically matched them up. And then lo and behold, Shelby is no longer the influence he was, and Doran started to dictate the tempo. And then they showed what they could do in an offensive sense. So, yeah, middle segment was fine. It was what went prior to it and afterward.
Told you. Robbie Brady fouled in the box for Norwich's penalty, which I think was two minutes before half-time. Graham Dorans took it. Of course, it was Norwich's third penalty in three games. And after the two Irishmen both saw their efforts denied, Graham Dorans managed to send the goalkeeper the wrong way, slash Carl Darlow dived the other way and left half the goal open for Dorans to slot home, which is nice to see Norwich convert one from 12 yards. So second half kicks off. I mean, the change in shape, I thought Newcastle's level wasn't really there. The penalty did seem to disturb their rhythm greatly. They couldn't get into the second half and they were just not at it. And Norwich deservedly really had their two goals. A wonderful finish from Cameron Jerome and then Jacob Murphy's deflected shot on the counter, a counter that he had made alongside Johnny Howson, who did brilliantly well to bring the ball up from defences as well. Two great goals.
Yeah, absolutely perfect at that stage in the context of what they were trying to do. As you rightly say, I think also the timing of the equaliser from the spot was literally a minute before the break. And you can imagine, you put yourself into the Newcastle players, fans, Rafa Benitez's shoes, and you've absolutely battered aside and you've walked off 1-1. I mean, how is that possible? So, no, clearly, mentally, that was a serious blow for them. And you can see that in the second half, at the start of the second half, that the crowd then were anxious because it's almost like they've hit Norwich with their best blows and they're still on level terms. And then even worse, find themselves 2-3-1 down, two brilliant goals in the execution and the cutting edge shown by Norwich. And as I say, at 3-1 to then be 3-2 within 60 seconds is criminal. No excuse for it. And the manner of the goal, you know, a straight ball from, I think it was Shelby, 60 yards, travels over Basson's head, where we've seen that before. Gale outstrips him for pace, buries it past McGovern. Suddenly the crowd are backing it. They believe, their players believe, and they've turned what would have been, I think, a fairly routine final quarter of an hour, final 20 minutes, with an increasingly fractious home crowd turning their angst on their players and Benitez into, well, basically an Alamo job. And, you know, we know how that panned out. So keep talking about it, game management. There's a distinct lack of it from this Norwich side this season, and they've just done enough in games. But that's fine when you say no disrespect, but clearly you are being disrespectful when you're playing the lesser lights. But you play Newcastle away with the quality they've got, you're going to get found out. You know, if you're not at your optimum, you will get found out. And it was brutal how it ended out, but you know, ultimately they got what they deserved. I feel overall, from minute 0 to minute 96, they got what they deserved.
And having praised the fact that they seemed to have learned that lesson against Forest, and that they did manage to see out that game so well, and you deservedly give them praise for, oh look, you've learnt your lessons, well done, everyone's patting themselves on the back, to take such a retrograde step inside about 2 weeks off the back of 5 wins on the trot, when they should be absolutely pumped full of confidence. And in that situation, if you can't hold on then, well, when it's 0-0 at Wolves with, you know, 89 minutes gone on Saturday, it's going to be probably even tougher. So there we go. We haven't really dissected the two late goals, Pads. I mean, where do you see it? I actually thought Dwight Gale, having looked at it again I mean, it's a little bit of a scramble on the edge of the box, but he does take it really well. I kind of did him a disservice initially saying it was a bobbling, deflected shot. He pulled the trigger really early, and there wasn't much anyone could do about it, maybe. I guess McGovern was kind of unsighted and wrong-footed slightly. The first goal, though, free header, well, not a free header, but no one challenging Gouffran, who's basically 5 foot tall, isn't he? He's not the tallest. He's heading the ball in from 10 yards.
Well, he's basically ran in between Bennett and Bassong, you know, so... Keep going back to at the risk of repeating ourselves. It's about sensing danger, and you're a centre back. You go meet the ball, and you head it clear. Not do what they did, which is basically allow a lad of smaller stature to pop up unmarked 6 yards out and get them back in the game. I'd also say, you know, the amount of balls that they were able to whip in from the left hand side would for me, that's question marks against Olsen and Brady. You know, the delivery all night from that right flank, and it's like a Russian roulette almost. If you keep putting the ball in the box with the quality they've got, then they are going to eventually punish you, and that to me would have been an issue as well. As much as I know the centre backs have got it in the neck since the final whistle, rightly so in certain quarters, you know, also the full backs and the lads in front of them haven't helped their cause, so you know, it's a collective abdication for me.
I do think when we're in the situation where apparently Alex Pritchard isn't involved because he doesn't get the defensive side of the game that Alec Neil wants to see, this idea that Robbie Brady can just go wandering around, I don't get it. And I think that had a lot to do with why Olsen was kind of doubled up quite a bit of the time. There we go. Oh, the alarms are going off. I'm pretty sure they went off here last time, didn't they, Pat?
Yeah.
That is a warning sign for Norwich City's season right there. I think we've spoken about Molyneux, haven't we? We have to go. Paddy's a bit worried. There's not a rush on to get out.
No, but by the same token, a fire alarm is usually indicative of leave the building, I think. So.
All right, well... oh, no, we're all right. Everything's okay again. See, that's all the new...
Burn the Big Mac.
No, I hope it's not mine. All right, well, we've spoken about Molyneux. It's going to be really tough. It's going to be on telly. What do we want to see from that one? 0-0, see out the game?
No, I just want to see... I mean, basically, at the minute, you'd have to question the self-confidence and the self-belief amongst that group of players. It's almost like they don't believe they're good enough. So, ultimately, you want them to be dominant, on the front foot, dictating proceedings. And if they do that, the result will follow, you know? It's all about performance and mindset. And ultimately, at Newcastle, we saw the old frailties and the old, are we good enough? Can we handle it? Can we really mix it with the top teams in this league? And wouldn't put Wolves in that category, but I think ultimately perform and the result will come.
I think it's all coming from Ed Steiner, who have probably burnt the burger. So well done, Ed Steiner. Well, we've had warning signs. We had an absolute downpour after the game as well that we had to try and record a video on afterwards. So plenty of apt situations we've been in on this. I think someone's trying to tell us to go home. So we're going to do that now. We'll both be at Molyneux, of course, for the Wolves game, which is a 5:30 kickoff on Saturday night, as Norwich City try and deliver in front of the Sky TV cameras, which, of course, they've done regularly since... No, I don't know either. Pad, thank you very much.
Thank you, mate.
And we'll see you after Saturday. Don't have nightmares, everyone.